This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the moral and social condition of its members. Information can be found online at ubc156.org. Please stay tuned for Prison Pipeline coming up next, and after that, Hard Knock Radio.
Do you love listening to KBOO? Want to get involved in the great programming you hear? Become a volunteer. KBOO's volunteer orientation will be Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m., located at Southeast 8th and Ankeny in Portland. Questions can be directed to Ani at 503-231-8032, extension 213, or by email at volunteer@kboo.org.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Tonight we'll hear the rally on July 8th that was held near the Justice Center in downtown Portland as prisoners across California began their hunger strike. But first, I want to welcome Adam Carpinelli from Oregon Jericho. Welcome, Adam.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Adam, talk about Oregon Jericho.
Oregon Jericho is our local chapter here, based in Portland, Oregon. We are a chapter for the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoner Amnesty. This is a national and international organization essentially talking about the human rights of people who are wrongly incarcerated for their political beliefs, political activities. And it started in the late 90s with a call that was called the Jericho March. And this was a march that took place in 1998. And it was in Washington, D.C. with thousands of people from different movements, different organizations, different walks of life, making the call to really raise clamor that there are political prisoners within domestic boundaries in the United States. And not only do they have constitutional rights, but they also have human rights. Many of them are long-term political prisoners, long-term meaning they've been in for longer than, say, 20 years. Some of them have been locked up for 40 years, 35 years. People like Leonard Peltier, who's a member of the American Indian Movement, was part of a shootout with FBI agents and wrongly incarcerated. This was part of FBI COINTELPRO counterintelligence program activity that was happening and continues to happen today, starting really in the 1960s or so, where FBI was specifically targeting a lot of very radical movements, many of them revolutionary nationalist struggles. Some of them were armed struggles, so some of these people are also prisoners of war as well. So if you're familiar with Nelson Mandela, and he did, you know, over 20 years in prison as someone who also did engage in armed struggle or believed in armed struggle as well, and he was released later on. And so as a parallel, we have similar struggles here in the United States. The way that history has been narrated now, people know much less about them. And this is why this work is so very, very important, because not only are these people getting old in prison, some of them have died in prison, some of them are literally dying in prison, like Lynn Stewart, who's also a white anti-racist lawyer who's been locked up literally because of the kind of people that she's defended. And the kind of people she's defended are people that the government doesn't necessarily agree with. And it also gets into kind of another area of a lot of people that are also getting wrongly incarcerated, partially just because of their identity, not just political activity. So even here in Portland, we have Patrice Lumumba Ford, Kent Ford, who's a local activist, old school, old guard Panther from here in Portland. And his son has been locked up literally for just practically being Black and Muslim. And that was part of a Portland 7 case that some people are very familiar with the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
And how is Oregon Jericho involved in the Pelican Bay and California prisoner hunger strike?
Members of Oregon Jericho, including myself, helped to make the call to get organized here in Portland and, again, raise the clamor about what's happening in Pelican Bay Prison. This is a prison in Northern California, and it started in 2011, actually. And so a more recent call has been made. Really within the last couple months, we started to organize. And what we simply did was we got like-minded people together that wanted to organize around it from different organizations, Blazing Arrow Organization, Portland Anarchist Black Cross, Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, people from the Industrial Workers of the World with the General Defense Committee is a committee for IWW, and actually many, many more. There's also people that aren't with organizations that just want to be involved, that are people who believe in human rights for prisoners, for people locked up inside. And many of us also believe in the abolition of prisons and that we need really radical alternatives to them. And that's why we call this very loose coalition Radical Prisoner Support Portland, which is also the Facebook page. It says Radical Prisoner Support.
Adam, are any of the Oregon prisoners participating in a hunger strike that you know of?
There is a particular prisoner that we actually have a statement from. We probably don't have time to read, but his name is David Carr, and he is locked up in Snake River. Snake River is just, you know, on the Oregon-Idaho border, and we have been able to get in touch with some prisoners there, including this gentleman, and he has sent basically a solidarity statement as to why he's also joining in the hunger strike. He does know that they have 5 demands that they're asking. Now, he's in Oregon, and so he's also listing his own 3 core demands as well. So if people get in touch with us, they can find out more about that. And we are trying to support these people by continuing to have prisoner letter writing nights. We always have the ones for political prisoners, but we're also having some separate events and some of the same ones too. So people can also write to these prisoners here in Snake River as well, including Pelican Bay.
And talk about the Jericho prisoner writing nights.
Sure. Those take place every last Tuesday of the month, and they're at the Red and Black Cafe. We bring anything you would need to write to the prisoners. So all you have to do is bring yourself, maybe bring a friend. It's all about empowering people to be able to do this. And part of why it's important to empower people, quote unquote, has to do with people are not familiar with prison issues largely. If they don't maybe have a friend or a family member locked up, they don't know the ins and outs of doing this stuff, because there's a few particularities to writing to prisoners.
And the Department of Corrections here in Oregon says up to 60% of prisoners do not receive visits. So visits and letter writing is so very important. So Adam, how do they get in touch with Oregon Jericho?
The quickest and easiest way would just be email us. And it's simply oregon.jericho@gmail.com. Website is oregon-jericho.org.
Adam, what actions are upcoming?
We'll be meeting at the Lloyd Center Max on Thursday, the 25th of July at 5 o'clock. We'll be canvassing on the Max. So anybody that's interested in canvassing, simply talking to people about these issues, can come in and get involved. We'll have a few clipboards and flyers. So that's one thing. Thursday, the 25th at Lloyd Center Max. Second thing is a public meeting at 2249 East Burnside. It's the building that a few organizations share. 2249 East Burnside on August 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll be having a public meeting simply about just getting organized with this work. So we've had a core group of organizers around this Pelican Bay stuff. We're trying to expand it into other things. So just to empower people, I mean, not just know the issues, but become organizers too. And we're really hoping a lot of people will come and step up around different prison justice issues, criminal injustice system, what have you.
Adam, what can people do right now to help the Pelican Bay and California striking prisoners?
The first and foremost thing would to be actually call Governor Jerry Brown right now. Tell him you support the prisoners on hunger strike, that you support the fact they're making these 5 demands on the California Department of Corrections. So call Governor Jerry Brown. His number is 916-445-2841. That's 916-445-2841 for Jerry Brown in Sacramento. The best updates for what's happening in Pelican Bay would be prisonerhungerstrikesolidarity.wordpress.com. prisonerhungerstrikesolidarity.wordpress.com. That will take you to really the most important stuff that's going on. You can also get in contact with this larger national network of people working around these issues.
Thank you, Adam Carpinelli from Oregon Jericho.
Just a few feet away, there's people in prison right here in Portland, Oregon. So let's let them know that we are here for them and we're in solidarity.
My name is Eatsley, and we are here for solidarity with the prison strike that's happening in California and around the country today.
And which organization are you with?
I'm with HIFI, Housing is for Everyone. I'm also with Gente Indígena. In 2011, prisoners at Pelican Bay organized a hunger strike, two hunger strikes, each one that lasted 3 weeks. The first one had 6,000 people, second one had 12,000 people, and each one were in multiple different prisons besides Pelican Bay to protest against inhumane prison conditions and to advocate for five core demands. And in 2011, the CDCR, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, finally came to the table for the first time in history to negotiate with prisoners directly about their demands. And so they promised to meet some of these demands. 2 years later, they haven't met any of them. So now in 2013, they're organizing a hunger and a work strike. And that's happening in prisons throughout California. It started today, July 8th. The prisoners are currently resisting eating and they're doing work stoppages. So right now, the California prison system is in a bit of an uproar. So solitary confinement in California prisons is through a system called the SHU. The secure housing unit cells. They're like 6x8 foot poured concrete cells without windows and fluorescent lighting, which the prisoners cannot control. So the guards can turn them on or off whatever time of the day they feel. And people have been held up in there, sometimes up to as much as 23 years. There are people in there right now. And it's considered inhumane treatment. It's cruel and unusual punishment. A lot of different lawyers, doctors, psychologists have analyzed it and have concluded that it's cruel and unusual punishment. It's completely dehumanizing to be stuck in a 6x8 foot cell with no outside contact for decades. There are many prisoners who have committed suicide or like experienced symptoms of PTSD because of their experiences in the SHU cells. We've got a lot of political prisoners, you know, like Mumia Abu-Jamal, who have been in similar conditions of solitary confinement, Leonard Peltier. But one of the problems they're having with the SHUs, there's a rule that says that if you snitch on another prisoner, you can be removed from a SHU. So that's one of the demands that they have right now, is to remove that rule because it encourages prisoners to work against each other and often to fabricate stories, because a lot of prisoners get thrown into the SHU without any reason for it. So yeah, ending group punishment, ending the snitch rules. And the SHU cells, you know, originally the excuse for them was that it was to combat crime. The excuse was that the SHU cells would help police combat gang war within the prison system, and gang wars that would be organized on the streets, supposedly by the gangs inside the prisons. And the real reason for the SHU cells is to try to divide prisoners from organizing things like this, to divide prisoners from organizing resistance to the cruel prison system, and to also isolate prisoners who are, you know, political actors, like Kevin Rashid Johnson, who was recently interned here in Oregon, was kept in a solitary confinement. Activists in the community were trying to contact him for a long time, and as a response to that, he was shipped off to Texas. And by keeping him in solitary confinement, they can make sure that these prisoners have no contact with the community. And when you're a political activist, not having contact with the community is really like a death sentence. You might as well not even be living. Prisons are one of the sites of the greatest conflict and contradiction in our society. You know, in the 13th Amendment of the United States, it says that slavery was abolished, except that if you look closely at the 13th Amendment of the United States, it says that slavery is actually still in place in prisons. So according to the Constitution of the United States, slavery is abolished except for in prison situations. Now, if you look at the numbers, there are more prisoners disproportionately, which are African American or black or African, who are in prison than were slaves during legal slavery in the South. So we now have a bigger literal slave population in the United States than we did before the Civil War. And that's a pretty huge contradiction in our society right now.
Bang, bang, it's a new American changing from Guantanamo Bay to Pelican Bay. Prisoners are starving themselves to say that the scales of justice aren't
waited right. Now it's up to us to keep up the fight. Clang, clang, bang, bang. Let's break the chains of this chain gang.
Thanks for showing up this evening, and thank you to the Radical Cheerleaders who opened it up for us here. So my name is Michelle, and we are here tonight to show solidarity with prison strikers at Pelican Bay Correctional Institute in Northern California, as well as with prisoners joining the struggle throughout the West Coast and across the country, demanding basic human rights, demanding better conditions. There was a prison strike in 2011, the largest prison strike in U.S. history. 12,000 prisoners joined that strike with the Pelican Bay strikers. And although the Department of Corrections said they would meet the demands were never put into place. So again this year, prisoners are starting their strike today. And just real quick, the five core demands that they put out there are to 1, eliminate group punishment, 2, abolish the debriefing policy and modify active inactive gang status criteria, 3, comply with recommendations of U.S. Commission on Safety and Abuse in America's Prisons, 4, provide adequate food, and 5, provide constructive programs and privileges for security housing unit prisoners. So the security housing unit is solitary confinement, and people there are being held for extended periods of time, could be years, and this is seen as torture by international organizations, the UN. It's understood as torture, so that's why we're here, to stop the torture and demand basic human rights. All right, everybody, are we ready to welcome Ajamu?
All right, greetings, everybody. Representing two organizations tonight, the All African People's Revolutionary Party and Housing is for Everyone. And I know, looking at all of you all, everybody here, all of you are against the industrial prison complex. You know the issues, you know who's in there, you know why they're in there. So I'm not going to speak to that. But what I do want to say is, we come to these gatherings because we don't like those things and we want to see them change, right? And we're trying to come together and figure out ways that we can make them change. So the good news is that there's a lot of stuff we can do. We got a lot of options in this area. Jericho, here in Portland and everywhere else, they organize prisoner writing nights. And for those of you who are like, well, I want to do something right now, that's something you can do. Because I've grown up knowing a lot of people in the prison system, visiting a lot of prisons, spending some time when I was young in and out of some of them myself. So I can tell you that little letter, that little visit, that means a lot to people who are in there. That's their only connection to the outside world. So don't sell it short. If you can visit someone, even if you can visit somebody in here, that makes a big difference. A lot of people have nobody coming to see about them. Nobody. Years and years of nobody coming to see about them. You could be that person to help give them hope, to come out here and make a contribution to society. So if you can do that, please do it, because that's something you can do right now, today, to make a difference. How many people here believe that revolution is the only solution? How many people here believe that? All right, for those of us who believe that, there's a lot we can do as well. We have to get in the practice of building capacity to create uncompromising change in this society. How do we do that? That means doing the tireless day-to-day work to recruit your mama, your sister, your brother, your homeboy, your homegirl, everybody in the revolutionary organization and movement. When I came here, I was the only member in Oregon of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Now, as I stand here before you today, I'm not the only member. And that's because of the hard day-to-day work to recruit and politically educate and organize. And then, as I'm telling you right now, in the coming months, you'll see the impact they will have working in our community to organize our community. That's revolutionary organization. That's what we need, y'all. But I'm gonna tell you, it's hard work. Revolution is process. And if we do that, we can build capacity to stop them from putting us in prison and we can organize a society where people come before profits, and we can begin to create a society where our kids will look at us with respect and dignity, and we can build a better world for the future. Are y'all down with that? Then let's make it happen.
So we've got coming up now, probably needs no introduction, Mike Crenshaw, right behind me here.
I don't want to say too much that hasn't already been said. I'm just here in solidarity with prisoners that are taking a stand, uniting in direct action in solidarity with each other, with us on the outside, for reasons that are quite obvious to me. You know, when I was growing up, they told me 1 in 4 was going to be in prison, probation, or parole by the time we were 18, okay? I haven't been to prison, but I've been arrested many times. The threat of people coming and physically taking away my freedom just because of who I am is very real. It's a constant state of spiritual, psychological, and physical warfare exacted upon me and people that look like me and every one of us here today. And that's been a reality that I came to accept as normal since I was a child, okay? Now, that reality is being expanded for lots of different reasons. I'm not really gonna go into them, but let's look at the brothers and sisters that are locked up today. Let's look at the SHU designation. Let's look at the security threat group assignment that they put on people based on ideological things, based on charisma, based on the ability to have leadership and organize and make sense to your comrades when you're locked up. They're gonna define you as a gang for artwork, for anything. They can have people snitch on you and they will never reveal who the snitch was and use that to put you in solitary confinement. That same thing is happening on the street today. Let's think about the NDAA. Let's think about the warrantless wiretaps. We're living in a straight up fascist society, and what are we doing about it? I see us here, but I'm proud. I'm inspired to see the leadership by the people who have lost virtually everything, okay? People on the cutting edge of repression and oppression, sitting in the belly of the beast, when they come together and they can say, we're not gonna scrap with each other. We're not gonna hurt each other. We're gonna sacrifice our own physical well-being for the sake of all of us to come up together, then we on the street, we have no choice. We have a responsibility to be in alignment with that. And that's why I'm here today. And that's all there is to it. I'm happy to see y'all out here. Thank you.
You are listening to a rally that was held on July 8th near the Portland Justice Center in solidarity with the striking prisoners in Pelican Bay State Prison and across California.
Have Jose coming up right now.
So today, I'm actually an artist. I'm a musician and I rap. So, you know, I want to get started with a little rap. They're trying to calcify my pineal gland in Portlandia. I'ma dismantle the Euro-fascist outlandish politicians trying to take over our conditions. No extraditions, get them all locked up in prison and free them all back home like Pelican Bay strikes for human rights disposed. It's solidarity from mid-loss on a Cascadia, Holmes. That's it. So I stand before you today speaking out against the oppression of our brothers, sisters and comrades at Pelican Bay. But I don't stand alone. I stand with the spirits of prison resistors going back to the occupation of Alcatraz in 69, Attica in 71, and hunger strikers taking place as I speak in Guantanamo. I want to start off by recalling my good friend Jose Perez on my shirt. My friend passed away in February of last year. We grew up together, and since very young, got in trouble with the law. That difference between us, he kept, you know, running, having run-ins with the law, going in and out of jail. As he got older, the same thing happened. And up until the week he was murdered, he had just gotten out of jail. He was like so many others, disenfranchised from society and in and out of the system. Dealing with this vicious cycle was not easy for him. He never finished high school, and since he had a felony on his record, he couldn't find work. On top of that, he had a daughter that he had to look after. So we started remodeling another friend's house, just getting paid cash on the go. The system set him up to fail. And the only people that offered a helping hand were his childhood friends. He was maintaining a relatively stable life until that fateful day when he went to the park with his daughter. I spoke with him over the phone 2 days before he was killed, and he told me my music was dope, that I should keep on doing what I'm doing to get the message out to the masses. I found inspiration in his immense positivity, even in the face of insurmountable obstacles. I connect that to this struggle today, and I connect that to the struggle that will continue after today for our liberation. People of color in the U.S. are facing a beast in this industrial prison complex. This country has historically treated people of color as second-class citizens, and what's more, no one is treated as a human being inside of a prison. We all know the statistics. 2.3 million incarcerated, 1 in 30 adults in correctional control. In Oregon, as in many other states, people of color are more than 5 times likely to get locked up more than whites. We've heard it. We know what's going on. We know it's absurd, but this was not planned yesterday. This took many decades to be planned out and come about. I'll tell you my first run-in with understanding how this was planned out. A long time ago, a comrade of mine dug up an article that he shared with me. The article was found in the California Correctional Peace Officers Association newsletter, and it was called The Peacemaker. That magazine had an article about Pelican Bay, and it was titled A Fate Worse Than Death. And I realized later what that meant. They were talking about predators and nonconformists. California has a place just for you. And they were talking about those nonconformists, and who they were talking about were people who were politically active, trying to organize other folks within prison walls. Most people locked in these shoes are religious and political leaders and have tried to organize their fellow members. Any prison you go to in the US, guaranteed to be racially divided. There are gangs fighting each other, trying to take over economic control in society. And the folks who don't buy into this racial divide are those that get sent to Pelican Bay. Divide and conquer, as always, is the method of control for those who run these prisons. Now, I just want to talk about where I'm from. I'm from Los Angeles, okay? And I look at the same thing that's going on inside these prison walls, and it's the same thing that's going on in my hood and in a lot of different hoods all over the country. In the 90s in LA, there was a policy implemented called gang injunctions. Gang injunctions basically said, if you're a suspected gang member who happens to be with a friend in any specific area that was outlined, you'd be put into a gang database and arrested, okay? The definition of a gang member, that's where it gets a little tricky. What is the definition of a gang member? Well, how I saw it on the, how all of my homies saw it on the streets was if you dressed a certain way, if you had a certain color on, if you were driving in a car full of your friends, you're a gang member. So basically what this did was gave cops the green light to stop every brown and black kid in our communities. So what we learned, we learned two important lessons from that, right? What we learned is that these injunctions were used to divide communities of color who have the ability to organize themselves effectively and efficiently. And second, we learned that that was the way that the prison industrial complex was going to increase profit on the amount of people sent to prisons. And lastly, but most importantly, it criminalized our youth. So, at Pelican Bay, the same thing's going on. They're separating people from their communities, their general population, trying to eliminate organizing activity between folks, and put into solitary confinement. And another thing upon that, you know, it's like they tell people, like, you know, Mike was saying, you know, if you become an informant, if you snitch on somebody, you'll get let go. You'll be put out of solitary confinement. The thing that most people don't know is that if people hear about that, you're a snitch, you're marked for life. You can't come out to the community because you're just marked for death. So I want to tell you right now that even though this is happening, there are people up to 40 years locked up in solitary confinement, the prison industrial complex is still not won, right? Because folks are uniting across racial lines, cultural lines, religious lines, uniting and fighting back and doing these strikes. So today, we have won. The people have won, not the prison industrial complex. So I think what we need to start talking about, as Ajama was talking about, is focus our strategies and really come up with different alternatives to incarceration. Talk about rehabilitation, reentry programs that are gonna help our comrades out when they get back into the community. Instead of, again, like my friend, jobless out in the streets, just trying to hustle and do whatever they can.
You have been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
And it is about 7:01 p.m., Monday, July 22nd, 2013. This has been Prison Pipeline. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and please stay tuned for tonight's broadcast of Hard Knock Radio.
Taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you. Cha-cha-cha. It's the Tiki Cha-Cha Club, KBOO's all-vinyl guilty pleasure. Monday nights, midnight to 1 a.m. on 90.7 FM stereo and around the world at kboo.fm.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.